The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, ladies. You know, I have the privilege as your pastor, and of course as somebody that travels a little bit, and I preach to a lot of preachers now. God's given me the privilege to be able to kind of like be the pastor of some pastors, and it's been a blessing to be able to be a help and to be able to be an encouragement. And yet sometimes when I travel, I get to see churches that are struggling, churches that are having difficult times, churches that have kind of gone through, if you would please, the valley. And sometimes it's challenges that come, maybe from outside the church that come in, maybe some pressures. Sometimes it's church challenges that's inside the local body of Christ, and there's just some maybe some cantankerous people or whatever that just need to get right with God and stop causing trouble, you know. But in many cases, you see that there's difficulties in different places, and it need not to be that way. I said it needs not to be that way. You ought to be able to come to church and enjoy church. I mean, we've had a good time this morning. Matter of fact, I could get up, read a verse, and preach for about 3 minutes, and you would leave here saying, man, it was good in the house of God today. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to preach longer than that, and hopefully you'll still leave here and say it's been good. I hope you don't leave here saying, man, I wish he never would have got up. That would be bad. Take your Bible and look at John chapter 21. Look at verse 3. The Bible says in Simon Peter, John chapter 21, verse 3, the Bible says, and Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. You like that, don't you? Who said amen? Brother Bagnon said, me too. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. He says, watch this. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and they entered into the ship. Now watch it now. Immediately. So he just said, hey, look, I'm going to go fishing. And these other fellows said, look, it's about time I go too. It's about time I go to. Now, understand, when he's saying, I'm going fishing, he's talking about going back to his former life. He's talking about leaving the ministry that God has put him in. And apparently, there were some frustrations there. Apparently, there's some disappointments there in his own heart. Apparently, there may be some disbeliefs there. Many reasons that you could, if you wanted to try to say, this is why I believe he went fishing. We don't know conclusively why, but we do know this. The Bible does say he did go. We know that. The Bible says, and that night they caught nothing. So here they entered into the ship, they fished all night, and they caught nothing. Look at verse 4. The Bible says, and when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. The Bible says in verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them in verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore. Now they were not, watch what it says, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. All right? And so here they are, understand. Simon Peter leaves. He says, that's it. I'm walking off. I'm leaving. I'm going to fishing. By the way, you ever get so frustrated? I don't raise your hand. But did you ever get so frustrated that you just wanted to throw up your hands and just walk off? Did you ever get that frustrated about a church? Did you ever get that frustrated about a friendship? Did you ever get that frustrated about a marriage? Did you ever get that frustrated about child rearing where it's just not going the way you want it to? And you just feel so frustrated, you just kind of like at your wit's end, you don't know what to do, you just want to kind of throw up your hands and walk off. You ever get that frustrated about your business where, you know, you started off and you're an entrepreneurist and you think, man, I tell you what, within the first year, I'm going to clear $1 million. Only within the first year you find out that you're about $1 million in the red. Didn't turn out the way you wanted to at the very beginning. You ever feel that way when you purchased your house and you think, man, this is a beautiful house, then you moved in it and you found out that it was only beautiful around the shell, but maybe it was eaten with termites? Maybe the foundation was broken and it was not disclosed to you, and now it's past the time to reclaim it and get out of it? You ever feel that way when you bought a car and, man, it was just beautiful? Matter of fact, when you saw the car, it talked to you and you talked back. You know, and it was just fantastic. I mean, after all, you know, you never saw a car like that before. And it said, buy me, and you obeyed. You bought the car, and now you're driving it down the road, and the wheels fall off. I mean, you ever do that? You ever step out, ladies, and try and cook a meal, and you're going to try to surprise your husband, and you burnt that thing from one end of the dish to the other and on the middle side, too? You ever do that? Have you ever gone like Peter did and went fishing, and you said, boy, I tell you what, you talked to your dear wife, and you said, I'm going to fishing, and I'm going to bring back some of the best fish that any man ever could catch. And you fished all that afternoon and caught nothing, so then you decided to slip by the supermarket and buy it. Came back and said, look what I got. And you were careful about your words. All right, but notice this, if you will. Here's what the Bible talks about. And I believe that this could be a picture as to why churches do not win souls. Now, by the way, everybody in this building ought to be a member of a soul-winning independent Baptist church. Amen. Now, come on, if you're a member, say amen.
Amen.
You can help the preacher out here just a wee bit, all right? And so we're good at organizing things. We really are. We're good at organizing teams. And we've got teams here. We got soccer teams and basketball teams and volleyball teams. And we're good at organizing teams. We have a time when our children go out and pass out tracks, and we call it track attack. We're good at organizing teams. We have a team soul winning time. We have a college and career bus that goes out on Thursday night as well. And we have a time where we organize and go. We're good at organizing teams. We're good at organizing teams as we split up into Sunday school competition. We're good at organizing teams. We're good at fellowshipping. Boy, do we love the fellowship. We love that chili cook-off every year. We love that Labor Day picnic every year. We love the watermelon times. We love the times where we come together. We'll just come together for food just because it's good to eat food, amen? And we'll fellowship together. Oh, we love those fellowship circles. You know, we're good at putting together decorations. If you've ever been here for a youth conference, boy, I tell you what, the youth workers can flat, and those that volunteer to help can flat decorate. They change the inside of this auditorium according to theme, and it's always amazing what they do. We're good at helping missionaries. We really are. We love our missionaries. We love to pray for them. We love to write them notes. We love to encourage them. We love to try and meet their needs. You know, we try to keep the buildings looking pretty straight. We really do. We have people that volunteer. We need more volunteers to help out with the janitorial needs around here. The buildings are so big and so massive, and they take so much to clean. But we try to do a good job in cleaning out the buildings. We try to do a good job in organizing. We really do. When it comes to computerizing things and putting them out, like with the Shelby system and things of that nature, we're pretty good at stuff like that. Or at least we try to be. We try to be. But you know, you can have all those things together and still not be used of God. You sure can. You can have every dot and every tittle. You can have every cross, T crossed, and you could have every paragraph personified so that it just makes accurate sense. But do you know, there's some things that we do not do as far as churches are concerned that causes churches not to be soul winning churches. Let me show you a couple of things. The Bible talks about in John chapter 14 and in verse 12, Jesus is speaking here, and he said, greater works than these shall he do. And so there's a time when the Lord is calling Peter, he's calling Andrew, and he says, follow me, and he says, I'll make you fishers of men. And by the way, somebody, I do believe this, I really do believe this, and it doesn't matter your Bible knowledge, but I believe anybody that's a follower of Jesus Christ will have a desire for people to come know Jesus as their Savior. I just believe it's a natural thing. I believe that you want people to go to heaven. I mean, if you're going to heaven and you understand the importance of eternal salvation, you understand that a person needs to be saved, can I tell you, that becomes a part of your life. That becomes a part of your DNA. You know, you want people to be born again. You want people to be saved. I mean, that just becomes a part of who you really are. And so why is it that some churches are not soul-winning churches? Let me submit to you some things this morning. I do not believe the problem was in the boat, as far as the boat itself. I don't believe the problem was the boat. And by the way, I don't believe the problem is the church, the origin of the church. I don't really believe that. I don't believe that there's a church problem today as far as those that preach the truth. I really don't believe that the problem, we could look at it and say, well, I tell you what, as far as the structure, and let me differentiate, okay? The church is born-again baptized believers. That's what we call the church. Let's take the shell. Let's just for a minute take the shell, the building, if you will, and let's kind of denote that as being the church, just the building. Now, it's not. The church, according to the scriptures, is the born-again baptized believer. You and I make up the church. Doesn't matter if we meet underneath a shade tree somewhere. Doesn't matter if we meet in a brush arbor somewhere. Doesn't matter if we meet out there in the middle of the highway. And who all's left from not getting hit by cars, we meet together, and that's called the church, okay? You understand what the church is. But let's just take the shell of it, okay? Just like you take the shell of a boat or the shell of a structure. Let's call that shell, for illustration's sake, the church, okay? The buildings, I don't believe. The buildings, let's say it that way. The buildings are not the cause for people getting saved. I've seen people come into some pretty ragged buildings, haven't you? I used to preach at some rescue missions, and preaching at some rescue missions, they were not as clean as what they should be, and you walked in and it smelt dirty. But I would preach, and people walked the aisle, and they would see Christ as their Savior. And so I don't think the boat is the problem. I don't think the shell of the building is the problem. Now, thank God we have a good shell. Thank God. You know, you got nice pews to sit in. Thank the Lord for that. You've got a nice air condition to be able to enjoy. Thank the Lord for that. You've got nice lighting. I mean, actually, you can look down and see what the Bible says on the pages. We're not sitting in darkness this morning. Hey, thank God for that. You know, we've got fancy instruments here. Boy, people play in the orchestra. Isn't that so neat? We got people who know how to play the piano and the organ at the same time. And boy, they do a good job and blending that stuff, don't they? And boy, we've just got it down. We've got nice carpet. When the church was not the way it is today, and we did not do a remodel on this, over as you go up into these balcony areas, I used to call that my man cave. My man cave. How many remember the man cave? Yeah, you'd enter in. It's like entering into darkness, you know, and walking up to the balcony, you know. And I told those fellas as they came in, and Jonathan was my project manager over this auditorium, and I said, we got to get rid of that man cave. I mean, I want those steps opened up. Now, that cost us a little bit of money because they had to cut through some metal things there, metal beams. But we opened that thing up, you know, and done the auditorium look good. I mean, hadn't God been good to us? By the way, have you visited the gym lately? Hadn't God been good to us? Have you visited the youth center lately? Hadn't God been good to us? You know, have you visited out back where Brother Flores took those trees down for us, and we put grass in there and put a little sprinkler system in there, and hadn't God been good to us? I mean, you know, you walk down the hallways, oh, God's been so good to us, and now we're going to be uptown because we're going to get steps to enter into the front of the building. Now, in God been good to us? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying the problem is not the boat. That's not the problem. Statement number two, the problem's not the nets. We got gospel tracks around here. The problem's not the nets. We have buses that take soul winners out to be able to show people their need of Christ. The problem's not the nets. The problem is not the nets or if you would please, those things that we could throw out for people to be able to see their need of Christ, that would be able to show those fish that they need to get in the boat. That is not the problem. So the problem is not the boat. The problem is not the nets. The problem is not the fishing hole. Can I tell you, we've got a good fishing hole right here in the Dallas metro area. Have you noticed that this place is growing just a little bit? Have you noticed that? I mean, people are coming from California. I think everybody ought to come from California, if you ask me. But people are coming from California. They're coming from New Jersey and New York. And boy, they're coming from New Hampshire. And they're coming from all over the place. And they're moving to Texas. I saw a sign the other day. It said about Texas, you're either from Texas or you're going to Texas. Now, I don't know if that's really true or not. But can I tell you this? Can I say that the problem is not the fishing hole? God has given us millions and millions and millions of people here in the Dallas metro area. If you walk outside, you can't walk very far before you trip over somebody. I mean, they're just all over the place. I mean, just people everywhere. People. I mean, you say, I'm going to get my car and I'm going to drive across town. That's about a day's event, driving across town. Can I tell you, there's just people everywhere. And so the problem is not the boat. The problem is not the nets. The problem is not the fishing hole. There's many, many places to be able to go out and show people their need of Jesus Christ. I mean, yesterday, I took one of our good men, one of our deacons out. Brother Yao was with me yesterday. And we sat down and we had the privilege to show people their need of Christ. And this one man, when he and I was together, bowed his heart and received Christ as Savior. And he shook my hand and he said over and over again, thank you so much for coming by. Thank you for showing me this. Thank you. I'm so glad I got saved. Oh, this means the world to me. So I'm saying we've got a good fishing hole. There are people out there that need to understand their need of Christ. And God has put us in a good place. Statement number one, so the problem's not the boat. The problem's not the fishing nets. The problem, statement number three, is not the fishing hole. The problem is not the time of day. You know, you can show somebody when to get saved anytime you want to. You know, I know people go fishing early in the morning. I know people go fishing in the afternoon. I know people go fishing in the evening time. I know people go fishing at midnight. I mean, there's no exception to the time to be able to go fishing. And so we understand this. You can talk to anybody. I got saved in a carnival ground. Yes, I did. A carnival ground. I never walked in church and somebody gave me the gospel. Not one time. Not one time. Nobody ever came to me during the invitation time and said, that preacher preached on salvation, I saw you raise your hand, and so let me help you to be able to understand your need of Christ and walk me down the aisle to receive Christ. That never happened to me. No, somebody stopped me in a carnival ground and they said, do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? I said, I don't know that, but I'd sure like to know that. They took the Bible and they showed me my need of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior in a carnival ground. Now, can I tell you, we've got a man, his name is Michael. Michael is a member of our church here, and Michael drives an Uber. And Michael will witness to people in the Uber. He's brought about four or five or six people down the aisle. And he'll call me up Sunday afternoon and say, preacher, I led another person to Christ in my Uber. Can I bring them to be baptized? Amen. Amen. All right. You can win people to Christ in your car. You can win people to Christ at the gas station. You can show people how to be saved down at the hospital. You can show people how to be saved, if you will, as you walk along the street. You can show people how to be saved anywhere that you want to show people how to be saved. And you say, but preacher, I'm not all that good at that. But you can take a gospel track and you can leave it anywhere. You can just leave it anywhere. You'll be amazed at who picks up a gospel track and reads that track. The other day I was out and I was just running so fast. I had a schedule to keep and I wasn't able to talk to a lot of people. But I give them a gospel track and I said, listen, I want you to be in heaven one day. If you'll read the back of that gospel track, that tells you how to go to heaven. I hope you read it, hope you obey it, and I hope I'll see you there one day. And just pass them out. By the way, that'll keep you out of trouble. If you get busy serving Jesus Christ, you know why people get in trouble and why people are busy bodies in the church? It's because they're focused on them. If they'd stop focusing on them and how their feelings got hurt and how they got disturbed and all quit it, just put Jesus Christ first and go out and show somebody their need of Jesus Christ as their Savior and you be about the business of being a fisher of men, and can I tell you, you'll enjoy church a whole lot more. I'm saying this, the problem's not in the boat, the problem's not in the nets, the problem's not in the fishing hole, the problem is not in the time of day. You can be able to tell people about Jesus Christ. You can be able to talk to people about the Lord anytime. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they fished all night and caught nothing. And so these were expert fishermen. Statement number next, okay? Let's look inside the boat and see where the problem is. Here Peter is. May I give it to you this morning? Peter's inside of the boat. Don't forget, Peter's the frustrated one right now. And Peter said, I go a-fishing. Remember what Peter said? And those other said, I go with thee. Now, so Peter's a backslider right now. So you got a backslider inside the boat. Now, by the way, can I tell you, there's a lot of backsliders that are attending churches all over America, our church included. Now, by the way, let me help you a little bit. You say, well, I think that everybody in the church ought to be right with God and serving God and putting God first. I believe that too, but it's not true. You know, by the way, don't use backsliders or don't use somebody that, I'm going to help you now. Don't use backsliders or somebody that rubs you the wrong way to get out of church. You'll find somebody, dear friend, out at Walmart that's going to rub you the wrong way. But isn't it funny you still go back to Walmart? Now, you don't have to go to that cashier, nor do you have to sit beside the person that rubs you the wrong way in church. You know, one thing I love about our church, if you ever get upset with somebody, you don't have to sit beside them. Have you noticed in our church we have more than one pew? Have you noticed that? Dear friend, if you get upset with somebody, you can sit over here and doing handshaking time. You'll never find them that sit over here. Now, I thank God for a smaller frame buildings that churches have, but can I tell you, I'm glad that God has given us a church that's big as far as its facility is concerned. You know, this thing has set a couple hundred people, I'm sure of it. You know, and you could sit way up there, never shake hands with somebody way down here. You can still enjoy the preaching way up there, and you can still enjoy the preaching way down here. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that understand, here Peter is, and Peter's a backslider. Well, you have backsliders in church. You know, Peter was headstrong. He was called a hothead. He'd fly off the handle. Do we have people in church like that? Every church does, okay? Peter's not going to win souls right now. He's not right with the Lord. You know, you can't expect a backslider to do much for God. A backslider who denies Jesus Christ when he gets in a tough spot, that's what Peter did. Peter was right there and he denied the Lord. All right? You can't expect a backslider, if you would please, to do much. Every time he gets in a hard place, he's going to tuck tail and run. Every single time. Well, that's who's in the boat. Oh, wait a minute. Who else is in the boat? There's Thomas. Thomas is called the doubter in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. You know, there's many doubters in church today. There is. You know, they get on their knees and they say, oh, dear God, oh, God, oh, God, would you answer my prayer? Oh, and they get done praying, then they get up and they'll go tell somebody, I prayed, but I really don't believe God's going to do it. What's that called? That's called a doubter. You know, you're going to have doubters in the church, can I tell you? You know, they hear them say, well, God can save a sinner and God can change that man. And that doubter speak up and say, well, maybe. Or he'll speak up and say, well, I don't think so. I've known him too long. There are doubters, all right? And there's many people that doubt the work of God. You know, there's doubters that exist, if you would please, and they have excess baggage. They're always doubting about this. There's the doubter that gets in the way of progress. There's the doubter that stands in the way of the sinner. There's the doubter that causes the church not to win souls. Oh, but that's not all. Peter was inside the boat. Thomas was inside the boat. Nathanael was inside the boat. Now, if you study Nathanael, he was a criticizer. Listen to it. John chapter 1 and verse 46. The Bible says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He's a criticizer. You say, preacher, is there criticizers in the churches today? Oh, yeah, there's criticizers in the churches today. All right? You know, people criticize the methods of soul winning today. People criticize the critics. You know that. They criticize the critics. You know, they criticize the Sunday school leader. They criticize the music director. They criticize the temperature.
They criticized the soft pews, wish they were harder. They criticized the people snoring in church. All right, who else was in there? There's the sons of Zebedee. Now, who are these fellows? Well, they're the glory seekers. The sons of Zebedee. You know, they were the glory seekers. They were the ones that wanted to be patted on the back all the time. They were the ones that would run and do a good job as long as somebody's going to praise them. You know, they were the ones, if you would please, that did not necessarily use God's plan, but they would come up with their own plan. Now, by the way, so you've got, of course, two other disciples in there. Well, you know, you got all sorts of other ones. Now, watch this, if you will, that were beside the ship, I mean. And so you've got all sorts of people that was in the boat that I named them. And then you got people outside the boat, and they know that these fellows are getting ready to take a boat trip. And they, I mean, word spreads, but you didn't see anybody stand up and say, I don't think you ought to do that. They just kind of let them go. Now, I'm saying this. Oh, what is it that we can do? How is it that Parkside Baptist Church will always be a soul-winning church? Here it is. It's very simple. Now, you can have all these people. You can have people. By the way, have you ever noticed that we have a multicultural church? Kind of reminds you about heaven, doesn't it? Where heaven's going to be. All right? But can I tell you this? Can I tell you that as God's children, hey, we're supposed to obey God. As God's children, we're supposed to step out and do what God wants us to do. And it doesn't matter. You can't use your background as an excuse, dear friend. You cannot use your culture as an excuse. You cannot use your upbringing as an excuse. And you can't blame it on anything else. Hey, God wants you to be a soul winner. God wants you to care about people. You say, but I'm new here. You don't understand, preacher. I'm not even a member here. Well, thank God you're here this morning to hear it. I'm saying this, dear friend, that there's people that's dying and going to burn in hell. Oh, stop being that person, if you would, please. That's a part of the boat, and all you're doing is just not doing what you're supposed to do. God has called you. God has commanded you to win souls, to tell others about Jesus Christ. And by the way, you can do that even though you're timid and shy. Well, sure you can. I grew up on a farm, first couple years of my life, on a farm. I was so introvertish. Matter of fact, when God called me to preach, I said no. I did. I said no. And then he kept working on my heart. Just, you know, every time I'd eat cereal, God would say, I want you. Ooh, makes your cereal taste different. I lay my head on my pillow at night, and I didn't go to Bible college to be no preacher. I went to Bible college because I wanted to learn the Bible. I was not raised around the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. I didn't get saved until I was 18 years old. I'm 56 today. I know a little bit more about the Bible. But can I tell you, when I went to Bible college, I didn't go to Bible college to be no preacher. I went to Bible college because I had a love for God. I wanted to go and learn more about the Bible, how to please my Savior. That's why I went to Bible school. I went to Bible college in the second year that I was there. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost started to work on me, and I gave in about June 26, 1982, and walked an aisle. And I said that I believe that God wants me to preach. I thought that'd be the end of the situation. I thought if you surrendered, God would leave you alone. He didn't leave me alone. Then doors started open and said, would you come preach for me? Would you come do this? Would you come do that? And it put me in a bind. I stuttered. Oh, I didn't want to get up in front of people. I was scared of people. You know, because people have eyes, and when you get up, they stare at you. Sort of like what you're doing this morning. And boy, I didn't want to preach. I did not want to preach. I stuttered. Oh, I stuttered so bad. I just stuttered. And it a terrible thing. But here's the amazing thing about my story. When God called me to preach, when I surrendered to that call on my life and I got up, I never stuttered through preaching. God took the stuttering away. You say, well, how is that? I don't know. Ask him. But I do know this. It's gone. So you see, every time I get up, to me, it's a miracle of God. Hello. Every time I get called and they say, would you come preach at this conference? I'm thinking there's tens and tens of thousands of preachers they could choose from. And here they'll ask me to come preach at a conference. And I'm always humbled by that. Why? Because I know where I came from. I know who I am. Now, can I say this morning? Hey, it doesn't matter what type of shape the boat is in. You can't blame the boat for a reason of not caring about souls. You cannot blame the boat for a reason of not trying at least to influence your neighbor to come to Christ. You cannot blame the boat, not one time, as a reason of not laying a gospel tract on a table as you walk out of a restaurant. You can't blame the boat for that. You cannot blame the boat for the nets that's laying in dry duck and you're not casting them out. You cannot blame the boat for the lack of fishing holes. You can't blame God for the lack of fishing holes, or blame God for the lack of nets, or blame God for the not nice boat. You can't blame God for the time of day. No, God's given you all sorts of times, and you can't blame God for other people that's inside of the boat. No, you and I, dear friend, I said you and I, dear friend, we're supposed to give an answer to God. We're supposed to be obedient to God. God will use us. You can't blame other people. Oh, I'm not going back to that church because so-and-so, they got on my nerves. Dear friend, you go to another church, there's going to be somebody that God's going to use as sandpaper that's going to get on your nerves. God has a way of doing that. Now, I'm saying this. How is it that we can take and be able to see a soul-winning church? Look at it in verse 6 and I'm done. John chapter 21 and verse 6, the Bible says, and he said unto them, he says, cast, it says, the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. All they got to do, number one, is listen. That's all they've got to do, number one, is listen. Number two, the Bible says, they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Then all they have to do is obey. It's just trusting and obey. That's all it is. Isn't there a song, Trust and Obey, There's No Other Way? Well, sure there is, all right? And so I'm saying this. I'm saying in order to be able to be used of God, I've got to get over my shyness just a little bit. Yes. In order to be able to see a little boy that doesn't know Christ come to know Christ as Savior, I've got to get over my intimidation of people. Yes, I do. In order to be able to see my neighbor come to Christ or to see my friend come to Christ, hey, I've got to get myself some nets, some gospel tracts, and carry them around. I don't even have to talk to people. I just kind of show them out if I want to. Hello? You ever go in the bathroom and leave a gospel tract? You don't know who's going to pick that up. You have no idea. I'll tell you the story and I'm done. There's a little girl, and she got bit about this, what we call soul winning. She got bit about passing out the gospel. And so she saw a man he was over a laundromat, big old burly fella, little 12-year-old kid. She went up and very timidly gave the man a tract. And he said, I don't want it. Get away. Shunned the little girl. She left it lay there on the table, and he picked it up, put it in his pocket after she left. Thought he had told her off and she'd never do stuff like that again. This little girl had a burden. It was in the grocery store and she saw all this beer sitting around. She thought, you know, people that drink beer, they need to get saved. That's a pretty good analogy, by the way. So she took gospel tracts and she put them in all the beer things. Well, that guy was so upset, he left the laundromat, went to buy beer. That's right, same store. Went over to the beer section, picked himself up some Michelob or something like that, I don't know, but picked it up and there was a gospel tract. Oh, he thought, they're after me. The little girl decided she was going to go on her youth soul winning night, and so they're out youth soul winning. Didn't know it, but the youth director of that day picked the street to go down, and guess whose address was on the street? By the way, guess who knocked the door? And she knocked the door, and this man, you know, and she swallowed. She almost fainted. Gave him a tract, timidly ran away. You know, that old boy came to church, they say, the next couple weeks or so, and walked down the aisle and received Christ because there was somebody that cared. See, you know, you can care about people and not even see them. You ever write somebody an anonymous letter? I got one this past week. But write somebody a good anonymous letter. one of my secretaries, they said, "Preacher, when somebody writes you an anonymous letter, why do you open up and read it?" I said, "Because sometimes it's fun. Other times I just need to be challenged." But I don't understand why people do that. You know, they don't have the guts to sign something or something. I don't understand that. But sometimes they're fun, and I'll read some of them. And sometimes I just let the secretary read them, and she goes home crying. And so, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I am saying this. I am saying that you stick that gospel tract if you pay bills the old-fashioned way. You know how you used to do and write it a check? You remember those days? You know, and you could send that gospel tract to somebody. They could read it. You never know. They just might get saved. You just don't know. I'm saying this. I'm saying the reason that we ought to always continue at Parkside Baptist Church to be a soul-winning church. And everybody's different. You know, everybody's different. You know, some people get into witnessing the people and giving the gospel out. Some people get into witnessing to the masses and preaching to them. And some people get into handing somebody a gospel tract and say, "Can I read that with you?" Other people get into doesn't matter where you get in. It is important, however, dear friend, that you get in, you know, and pass out some tracks and love some people. Well, you know, there's reasons why they didn't catch the fish, but listen to me now. Once they started obeying, you got it? They said, "I fished all night and caught nothing." The Lord said, "Hey, I got something simple for you to do. Take that net, throw it on the right side of the boat, just see what God can do." They threw that net on the right side of the boat. There were so many fish that jumped in that net. That net began to break. You know why? Because they got God involved, because they were obedient. And you'll be amazed what God can do in you and through you if you just trust and obey. Now, Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.